the Lord Jesus? Is it like a concept? Is it a tradition? David was going through a very rough period in his life. The nations round about wanted to destroy him. They wanted the nation of Israel to disappear. And David was in real danger almost every day. But when we come down to that verse, verse 46, and David says so beautifully, "The Lord lives." He's not talking about a theoretical concept. He's not talking about going to some shrine where there's an image. He's telling us in very plain, ordinary language that the Lord Jesus is more than a concept, more than an idea. He is the living Lord, and he's promised to be with all of us. Both Testaments use that beautiful phrase, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That comes very close to what we say in a marriage ceremony. And I remember, even though it's over 60 years ago, I stood beside Grace, this beautiful lady, and we promised publicly that we would love each other till the end of our lives here in this world. Well, to be a Christian means you've entered into a relationship with someone who's alive. And this psalm says very clearly, "The Lord lives." You know, some of us are getting older. I looked at this congregation this morning when I came in, all the young people and the children. And most of you here are probably not half my age yet. It's beautiful to be in a church filled with young people and children. But those who are getting old, well, we have our problems in life. Maybe I'm not supposed to quote someone like Bill Cosby in a sermon, but the great comedian, you remember what he used to say? You make a note of four things you want to do today, very clearly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Write them all out. Then you fold up the paper and you put it in a safe place and you go into the kitchen to have your breakfast. And when you come back, you don't know where the note is. You haven't got an idea in the world where you put it. Now, you young people don't know anything about that. But those of my generation, we know about that. If you live in a two-story house, you climb up to the second story, puffing when you get to the top, and you wonder why you came up the stairs. You've forgotten why? I don't mind you laughing at old people, but I'm sure you young people have problems too, a different kind. How good to know that in all of these little things of life, there is someone who is with us, and he never fails. He is alive. That's verse 46 of our psalm. The Lord lives. Well, thinking about seniors, did you hear the story? I found it on the internet the other day of a lady who phoned the newspaper company and very loudly demanded to know where her Saturday paper was. And the employee answered by saying, "Madam, this is Friday. The Saturday paper is not delivered until Saturday." And there was a long pause. And she said, "I'll bet that's why there was no one in church today." I'm not really a comedian. I'm not trying to entertain you. But I want you to know that the ordinary facts of life, for those of us who are getting older, and you have your particular problems if you're younger, life sometimes can be comical, but sometimes it can be very sad. And this psalm has this gem. Doesn't matter what your situation today, you might be laughing or you might be weeping. But here's the message that comes out of this psalm in verse 46, "The Lord lives." We're not involved with a concept. And I said once before already this morning, we don't go to a shrine to see an image. We take the words of the Lord Jesus very seriously. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the middle of you. Not only as a group, but as individuals. How many have been in isolation down through the years? I've read a lot of history. People left in jail sometimes for years and years alone. And when it's all over and they finally get their freedom, what they remember is how precious was the presence of the Lord in moments like that. I think what I'm trying to ask you this morning is, do you have that type of relationship with the Lord Jesus? Could you say to a friend sincerely, the Lord lives. I know it. Because he lives with me and he helps me in the problems of life. The Lord lives. Well, as I think about it this morning, I'm going to tell a few stories, and some of them will not be humorous. It's not that long ago now, would it be 3 years ago, that I took Grace to see the neurologist out in Abbotsford, a very lovely gentleman. I sat quietly while he made some very simple tests with Grace through questions and little things, so simple. And then after he finished, he looked me right in the eye and he said, Mr. Cochran, I regret to tell you that your wife has Alzheimer's disease. Now, it wasn't altogether a surprise. I was hoping he might have some other solution to the problem that we had. And I remember thinking what that was going to mean. The woman who had traveled with me around the world in the service of God, a tremendous speaker herself. I remember once in Scotland, she was invited to speak to the Ladies Missionary Conference, 500 ladies present. And Grace McLeod from Ladysmith, now Cochran by marriage, she was the speaker. And I'm looking at Grace right beside me, and she has Alzheimer's disease. I knew what that meant. I knew where the road would lead. But I remembered that the Bible says the Lord lives. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are, he's going to be with you. And he's going to walk through that experience with you. This is much more than just saying your formal prayers or coming to church on Sunday morning or giving a token offering to the church. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus is with us. This message comes from the Old Testament in Psalm 18. But it's confirmed in the New Testament. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the Lord Jesus, if we know him, he is with us all the time. David lived a very difficult life when this poem was written. I think we mentioned last week that the scholars are not sure whether David actually wrote it. It may have been written by a poet from the court who knew all about David and wrote it out as if it was from David. But David was a man all round about were enemies. No one wanted David to survive. And no one wanted the nation of Israel to survive. In all of that situation, the psalm says very clearly, either by David himself or by someone who knew David, the Lord lives. And that gives us the blessing to go through these sad experiences of life. I don't know about you, but I've mentioned my own case with Grace. We were going, probably down to the Dominican Republic, and we went by plane, of course, and somewhere we had to change planes. And when we got out of one plane, we went into the airport, and then we had to go through the checkpoint again to get back on the next plane. So we came up, and the agent said, would you please remove your shoes? Well, I removed mine right away. Nobody was going to take Grace's shoes off. And here we are in a delicate situation. And I said, Grace, I'm not taking my shoes off. Well, do you believe in angels? The Lord sent an angel. A middle-aged man who must have been the supervisor of all of these agents. He came over with a great big smile and he said, just let her through. And I went right behind her. She had her shoes on. I had mine off. When we got to the other side, we sat down. I said, Grace, can I take your shoes off? She said, yes. I took off her shoes, took them back to the agent, who was furious. She said, I almost called the police, but I gave her the shoes. She put them through the checkpoint. There was nothing wrong with them. I went back and put them on Grace. And going back and thinking about that this morning, believe me, when I read the Lord lives, I know it's true. He's with you in the difficult moments and in the good and joyous moments of life. He does not leave us. He is with us. Well, David, I don't know all the details of what he went through, but I do like his attitude. It's not really a complaint. It's a declaration. He's not saying, I went through in my own strength. No, no. He's telling us the Lord lives. And he took me by the hand and took me through those difficult situations. And what God did for David, he can do for you. Thinking about it this morning before I came up to the chapel, the Lord was walking with David in the turmoil of life. Now, I don't know all the details. I know there were attempts against his life. There were sometimes battles between armies. But David goes back and remembers this. And I think what he's telling us, I didn't do this alone. You know, we sometimes make great heroes out of certain people. Well, David, you could make a great hero out of David. But David is telling us, no, it was the Lord. The Lord lives, and he was with me. And he took me through those difficult moments. This is his testimony as he looks back. What would we say this morning if we were in, say, a little Bible class in the circle, and each one was asked to give some comment on that phrase, the Lord lives? Could you go back to some time in your life when something very special happened, you didn't know what to do, and you had direct guidance from the Lord in one way or another? I would like to hope that wasn't an isolated thing in your life, but a common thing in your life. Through the scriptures, he speaks to us. He speaks to us sometimes through our brothers and sisters in the Lord. He speaks to us sometimes through a sermon delivered from this platform where I'm standing this morning. What all that means is the Lord lives. We are not talking about some theory or some concept. We're talking about a real person. And I like what David said. We talked about it last Sunday. I love you, O Lord, my strength. It's in the Lord that we find the strength to face the problems that come up in our lives. Now, I don't know exactly where you are today. I don't know what your crisis may be last week or the crisis that might come up next week. I would like you to take home with you today and remember in your mind all the days of this week, the Lord lives. Am I laboring the point too much? How many people every Sunday morning go to church? And then they go back home and that's it for another week. And then they go back to church again the next Sunday. Well, I'm glad they go to church, whatever the church may be. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tomorrow in your work or this afternoon in a difficult marriage, or someone who is deeply concerned about a son or a daughter that's going the wrong way. that in moments like that you have the assurance, I'm not alone. The Lord lives. And I receive my strength from Him. David spontaneously spoke like that. It just came out of him. He wasn't a person that was all closed in on himself. He was a poet. He was a fierce warrior. I sometimes don't put poetry and warfare together, but in David they're together. Strong man who led his people. He would be on the front line of the battles. And as he looks back over that period of his life, he doesn't boast in himself. He simply says, the Lord lives. It's a lesson there for all of us. George Matheson, who was a good Scottish preacher of many long years ago, he also wrote hymns. And he said, we conquer not in any brilliant fashion. We conquer by continuing. Most of us like great things and something happened. I think what we have here in these words by Matheson is, it's that steady day-by-day relationship with the Lord that really counts. Not just when you come to church to hear the preacher on Sunday morning, or maybe just when you meet together in a class during the week for a little Bible study. Those things are all important. But this thought takes us beyond that. We're talking about the Lord who lives 24 hours a day and is with us in all the circumstances of life. And to walk with Him is one of the most beautiful things that we can do as human beings. The psalmist wrote, I will go in the strength of the Lord. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Well, David's testimony is clear. He's looking back over his life. And I would imagine this morning that as you sit here and listen to some of these simple comments I'm making to you, you can go back in your life. Maybe just last week. Or maybe a year ago. You had a very, very special experience, and you survived not because of you, but because of the Lord. The Lord lives. He was with you, and He led you day by day. The phrase, I hope you'll keep it in your mind this week, that the Lord lives. When you go to work tomorrow, whatever problems you may have in your home, whatever problems you have in your marriage, I won't start on that subject this morning, but if you're married, I hope you're going to live like Grace and I lived. We're over 60 years married, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And now we live in a world where marriages are consummated and broken within a few years. And a new experience has started. If the Lord is alive and we belong to Him, He's going to bless us in every aspect of our lives. Marriage, in the family. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there may not be problems. I'm saying the Lord lives and He will go with us through those problems and they will be solved. Sometimes we make these things that we talk about in church so theoretical that they don't seem to really touch us. Well, I hope that you have something in your life that is real that you can think about this morning and realize the Lord was with me. He walked me through that circumstance. I didn't do this on my own. And you're very conscious that the Lord lives. He lives in you. And He helped you to go through that situation. Well, as we grow older, maybe it becomes more precious. When you get up into your 80s, as I am, you're not sure how many more days you're going to have, let alone years. And as you come to that stage of life, just a word to anybody getting near my age today who's in the audience, not many of you. it's nice to know that in the latter years of your life, he's just as real as he was the day you were converted. And he's got you by the hand, and he's going to walk you right out of time into that eternal glory. I come from a culture, and I'm speaking very kindly this morning, where you have the concept that there's a trial period after life. There's a name for that. There's no sense that it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's absent from the body, and then you're sort of in a trial period, and then maybe you will move into that glory. That's not the message of the Bible. If the Lord lives and he is with you and death comes, he doesn't drop you and wait and see how you're examined and what problems you have and so on. And then you might. No, no. If you know the Lord today, the Lord lives. And in that moment when life comes to an end, he simply takes you by the hand and walks you right into that eternal glory. Doesn't Paul say, absent from the body, present with the Lord? No interval. You're here in one moment, and the next moment, you're with the Lord. Have you been with people who died in your presence? My father-in-law, John McLeod of Ladysmith, was a fine gentleman. We were in the Dominican Republic, and the phone rang, and it was our oldest daughter telling us that Mr. McLeod was very, very low. You know, you wonder what to do. It's a long way from the Dominican Republic back to Ladysmith. But there wasn't really any time because he went to be with the Lord almost within hours when we received that message. But I'll never forget when we did finally come back to Canada, we went to see Grace's mother. And we were just seated in the living room. And I asked her gently just how Mr. McLeod's life came to an end. Well, she said he was in bed for some time, and I would sit and I would sing to him hymns. He couldn't sing, but with a smile on his face, there was a Kleenex box there, and he would beat out the time as she sang. There were certain hymns that they liked that spoke about that coming glory. And one day as they sat, as my mother-in-law sat beside him, she noticed there was a change. And she said, I'm going to phone the doctor. And she went out to the next room and got the phone and phoned him. He just lived a couple of houses down the street. She came back, and then she noticed that things were getting worse. And my father-in-law, with a smile on his face, he called his wife, Ma. He said, Ma, it's too late. It's too late. He knew life was coming to an end with a smile on his face. She ran back and phoned the doctor again. He came running over and he came in with a stethoscope and put it on his chest. 1, 2, 3, period. Mrs. McLeod said, has he gone? He said, yes. The heart stopped when I said period. The only reason I share it with you this morning, the Lord lives. There wasn't any fear in that gentleman. There was a smile on his face. He knew exactly where he was going. He knew the Lord lives. He's with us now. He's with us in that hour. And he is going to be with us forever and ever in that eternal glory. I talked about Mr. McLeod. He's an old man. Some of you, not many of you, probably knew my brother Bill. Bill was a master on the piano and the organ at the big conferences we used to have in Vancouver. We would hold them in St. Giles Church or the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. They were packed. And there would be Bill and sometimes Jimmy Young at the piano and the organ, filling these auditoriums with beautiful music. Well, Bill passed away just before he turned 40 years of age, a young man, probably the most talented of the Cochrane boys. The reason I mention that this morning, you're looking at an old man, and I'm talking about the end of life. But that doesn't mean that everybody arrives in their 80s the way I have done in God's good grace. In our audience today, there could be some who, like my brother Bill, at 40, your life will come to an end, or even younger. I don't want to startle you. I want to give you the assurance, whenever that moment comes, if you know the Lord, you're going to take this word to your heart. The Lord lives. And because he lives, you're going to live eternally with him. That takes the fear out of death, because you know exactly what lies ahead, and you are committed to the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. We express our gratitude and our love to him by the way we live in this world, reflecting the beauties of the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm not critical, but I do observe people. And I often sit even in a church like this morning and watch some of those who are present. And it's beautiful to see reflections of the glory of the Lord and the smile. Sometimes I overhear the words that are spoken, gracious words. There are different ways that we know the Lord lives, because we see him in those that surround us. And we pray to God that they see him in us. To say that he lives and separate it from your life, that simply makes no sense. He lives, and he lives in you if you believe in him and have received him as your Savior and Lord. And there's going to be, to use an old-fashioned term, a Christ-likeness in your life. That those that surround you are going to look at you and they're going to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus being reflected in you, in your companions who are Christians. All of us put together in this little service this morning, we couldn't possibly display all the beauty of the Lord Jesus, but we catch glimpses in those that surround us. And that glimpse assures us that the psalmist right, the Lord lives, because we see him in our fellow Christians, the men and women who know him and surround us, and we see that likeness in the Lord Jesus. As we conclude our service this morning, I don't want you to go out the door looking at people to see if you can see a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. Don't be like an inspector. What I do hope is that in your relationships, you will naturally now and then say, I saw a glimpse of his glory this morning in the person I was talking to, or something that you observed. If we can't do that, what meaning does the phrase have? The Lord lives. If he lives, we would like to see him. And where do we see him? We see him in those who carry his name, who know him and love them. They unconsciously are reflecting the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Our Father, encourage us now as we go out into this new week. We've looked at two phrases in this psalm. The first one, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And now this morning, the Lord lives. We pray that in this week, maybe in the university situation, in school situations, in work situations, in family situations, there will be those who will look at us and will realize it is true. The Lord lives because we see his glory in our Christian friends that surround us. Help us not to be just Christians in words, but Christians in actions, in the way we live, and in our attitude, so that those who see us will understand from their point of view, it is true, the Lord lives. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who loved us so much he died for our sins at Calvary, and we worship and praise you this morning
because 3 days later he rose from the dead. And today he sits at the right hand of the Father in that pinnacle of glory. And he has so clearly said to us, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And Father, it boggles our imagination to even try and conceive that glory in which you have placed us for eternity in oneness with the Lord Jesus. Help us now in this week, in a responsible way, hopefully in an unconscious way, to reflect the reality of the Lord Jesus so that others will know the Lord lives. Bless us now as we go home. Give us a good week in the Lord, and we give our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.